Good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Writer Series, Friday, February 23rd, 2007. Tonight I'm talking with Robert Fanning, writer, poet, and current program director for the Inside Out Literary Arts Project, a nonprofit organization that places writers in the Detroit Public Schools. Welcome, Robert.
Well, thank you for having me.
How did you first get started writing?
Well, I guess the easy answer is the first time I picked up a pen. I enjoyed writing ever since I was young. But I think really, for me, it begins with my mother, who was very encouraging, and she likes to write herself. And I think seeing her write things down and just kind of encouraged me. And my father also, who doesn't write much, but who has a great love for poetry. And I remember sitting up listening to him late at night recite from memory The Raven and Annabelle Lee and romantic poets. So that always, I don't know if it impressed me so much then, but it had an impression upon me. So both of my parents have a love for words.
So was it difficult to get published for the first time, and how did you go about doing that?
It was difficult, and it is difficult. I think the world of publishing right now is extremely competitive. I had finished this manuscript about, well, I've been working on it for the last maybe 10 years, ever since I graduated from Sarah Lawrence in 97. So I've been working on it for a long time, and then concurrently sending it out to publishers. Had some nibbles from some publishers and was kind of going the contest route. There are all of these college contests, first book prizes now. I spent a lot of money trying to knock on the door that way until I realized that really the goal is to get the work out into the world, and started looking at independent presses. And then I was approached by Merrick Press, which is a new press in the Detroit area. And they liked my work, and I was kind of at a crossroads, starting to work on a new manuscript and ready to put publishing aside for a while. And they took an interest in the work, and it was definitely time to get this first book off of my desk. I think it can become a real boulder when you have this body of poems that's not going anywhere. You keep chipping away at it. So when Merrick took an interest in my work, it was the perfect timing. So yes, it was extremely difficult.
Thank you. What do you find most challenging about being a poet or an author?
I think the most challenging thing about being specifically a poet is, although everyone says there's a real kind of burgeoning movement and a new appreciation for poetry, I think that's mainly among poets. It's not widely read, I worked in a bookstore, and I know I would sit in on these meetings where they would give sales figures, and poetry was almost off the page. So there's still really not that many people buying poems. Does that bother me or affect me? Not really. It's a challenge. But I think ultimately that the challenge for me now is balancing my professional work during the day, my family life, and then the business of everything, publishing and sending the book out and trying to get the book reviewed and all of that. I've come to the point now where I actually have to sort of segment my time, and really I only have a short window of time and late at night to write. And so there was a time when I could write all day or carve out several hours to write. And now with a beautiful one-year-old son who's almost two, you know, that I find that it's actually changing my process. I actually have to write in these little windows of time, which is interesting. So I think it's just, and probably any writer would say this, it's trying to defend your creativity from all of the noise. The noise from, you know, television and your family and your work, and then just sinking down into that space where you can find your poems. That's the constant challenge, but it's worthwhile. And I think that most poets would say they're either blessed or cursed. You write because you have to. I'm not going to stop writing. It's inside of me. So you know, you just find a way to work it all out.
Mm-hmm. Who have been your biggest influences in writing?
Well, obviously I cited just my parents and their love for words, but beyond that, I started enjoying reading a lot when I was a child, and then I think I really started turning toward poetry in high school. I had a wonderful teacher, Don Lytle, who inspired me, and then in college, a couple teachers who inspired me, and I really felt on fire with writing when I started to read the Romantic poets and Keats and Shelley, Coleridge, those guys. And then in graduate school, I came to really appreciate specifically poets in the generation that was, I think, born in around World War II and who were writing a lot in the 50s, 60s, because then there was this, you know, they were writing in tight forms and then eventually breaking away from those forms. So some of those writers, specifically Lowell, W.S. Merwin, James Wright, Sylvia Plath, writers who really wrestle with form and who have, where you can trace in their work a movement from very tight received forms to free verse. I find them really, really influential. And then I enjoy reading a lot of contemporary poets as well.
Are there any other writers that you enjoy reading especially?
I think, well, people laugh at me about this, some of my friends, but I don't find him to be influential upon my work, but I read Dylan Thomas all the time. I find that there's certain writers who you know, when you get away from that noise and you need to settle into that creative space, there's certain almost calisthenic writers I read for calisthenics to get into the mood, to get into the rhythm of poems. Dylan Thomas is one, again, Sylvia Plath. W.S. Merwin, specifically, his second four books of poems. I don't read anything earlier than that or later than that, but I find that for imagery, I like to go to him. So I have different poets I like to read for different reasons to get the writing going. Then I have several contemporary poets who I really enjoy, some of whom are my friends, Ross Gay, Tom Lux, and then several friends in Detroit who over the last few years I've really come to love and be inspired by. Terry Blackhawk, who is the executive director of Inside Out, Peter Marcus, Vivi Francis, Kavita Kanpal, Matthew Olsman. I could go on and on. There's almost a literary renaissance going on in Detroit now. There's all kinds of poets converging into a core of great writing. There's spoken word, there's some what we call page poets. And so I've been reading a lot of their work and working with them on their manuscripts, and I'm surrounded by a lot of good writers right now, so I'm enjoying that.
How did you get involved in the Inside Out program, and what do you enjoy about it the most?
When I finished graduate school, I like to say that I was looking in the Poets Wanted page when I returned to Michigan and wasn't finding much work there. I had this strange job where I was working for an internet company sort of as a journalist, which is an absolute joke. Writing restaurant reviews, I know nothing about food other than it tastes good. And so I was a little lost in that way, and then I met Terry Blackhawk at a meeting that we just happened to both end up at, and she was speaking to me about poetry and passed me the business card and asked me to consider being a writer in residence. And I began as a writer in residence working in Hutchins Middle School and Chadsey High School, and found it incredibly challenging and inspiring. And for me to be able to give back what I've been given to young people, especially in an underserved community, was amazing. And so I've worked at Inside Out now. This is my sixth year. I became the program director. So now I'm actually hiring writers, training writers, keeping in touch with the schools, doing all the administrative work that comes with working at Inside Out. But again, I'm surrounded by writers all the time. I'm surrounded by children. I get to see young people writing poems for the first time. And there's something incredible about that. You can become jaded as a writer, and I always thought, well, maybe I always thought I'd want to teach at the college level, and I still would, but I think there's been something incredibly rejuvenating about working with young people, and elementary through high school, and just seeing the amazement and the mystery of words come to them.
You have lived and worked in very different places throughout your life. What dimensions has living in Michigan brought to your writings?
Michigan, that's an interesting question. I find Michigan, the landscape, the environment, it's sort of an American maelstrom. There's, you know, it's got loneliness and ugliness and, you know, long open fields and highways and strip malls, cars, things that I don't necessarily go to for my writing, but that come to me, that work into my body, into my spirit. I think we are affected by our environment. So I think all of those things have found their way into my poems. And I think I've lived in Michigan long enough that no matter where I go, I'll probably always be a Michigan writer because it gets into your body. And so I think there's something to that, the beauty and the ugliness all mixed up. And I think some of my favorite poems are those where that beauty and that ugliness converge and conflict and bump up against each other. And I find that in this environment. Just leaving Detroit a couple hours ago, driving from that urban, struggling, beautiful city, and then driving the couple hours here to East Lansing, was really what I love to drive in Michigan. I love to look around, and again, it finds its way into the poems.
Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, I noticed in your latest book, The Seed Thieves, I was particularly captivated by your imagery of the shore, and I was wondering, out of curiosity, which shore holds the most draw for you?
I'm obsessed with the shore and wanting to be near the ocean, and I think that when I am there, I feel most at peace, and I feel, again, that sort of amazing central conflict of power and calm and wildness at the shore. So I mean, I have a particular shore that is inspiring to me, and it's strange because it's the Jersey Shore where I met my wife when she was 16 and I was 18. I think that's but really wherever I go where I can be near the ocean, I've always said I'd love to. If I get to be where I want to be, I'll be within a short drive or a walk of the ocean. I find it to be really incredibly inspiring. So that, again, really seeps into my work a lot, the metaphor of water.
Well, thank you very much, Robert, for participating in the MSU Libraries Michigan Writer Series, and good luck with your reading tonight.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.